Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to the Saturday Morning Nerd Show. We are back, and we hope that you guys are sober enough to listen to us. If not, go get yourself a cup of coffee, because we have a lot to talk about.
I'm no Marcus excuses, Blake. I'm hungover as hell.
Yeah, if Brendan's here, you better be here. So
damn,
I'm Marcus
straight.
Blake, and with me as always is Brendan.
Yeah, you heard me already.
Yeah, and we welcome back Miss Julie Jones.
Hello, hello.
As you well know, the equal opportunity killer when it comes to video games. So, anyway.
And why we like her so much.
That's exactly right. So
I really do need that as a bumper sticker.
We do have a lot of new things to talk about on streaming services this week. This is why we're starting a new show about once every couple of months, and we you know, feel like that we need to bring you up to date about what's going on, because it just seems like things are dropping rapidly. Like, you can discover a new show every day on Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon. And so we're going to get in a little bit into that later today. But before we do, we have to, you know, talk about some nerd news, what's been going on this week. So before we go down our rundown, I think that the most important thing that really happened, if you're a Star Wars fan, is finally we got a trailer for the new Han Solo movie. And my personal reaction to it was like, yeah, I feel indifferent about the movie after seeing the trailer. But Chewie was cool. I like Chewie. I can tell you that much.
I'm less worried now than I was before I watched it.
I'm not saying it's going to be a bad movie.
I'm more worried.
I'm just not overly excited about it. I don't know. I mean, it's a wait and see movie, but you know, other than older, the kid that got to play a young Han Solo, I mean, I think everybody else will be good in it. I think Donald Glover is going to be great as Lando.
Oh yeah.
But it's just, it's kind of like, I don't know. You know, I
just think we've entered this era where Lucasfilm, as it is constituted now, has got a better idea of how to handle the one-offs than it does how to handle the actual trilogy.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I'm actually looking more forward to the other trilogies and stories outside of, you know, the Skywalker saga. But anyway, yes, we finally got a trailer. And we're only about 3 months away, so, you know, there we go. We'll see what happens. Anyway. All right, speaking of Star Wars, Disney did announce a few things this week. They are creating a few Star Wars TV series for their new streaming service, which is launching in 2019. And on top of that, when Game of Thrones is done, their creators will move right into Star Wars. So there you have it. And yes, there will be plenty of jokes about incest when it comes to Leia and Luke and all that, because it's the Game of Thrones people. But anyway, I'm not really worried about that. I think they have done a great job with Game of Thrones. So, you know, it's kind of natural for them to go into Star Wars. So we'll see, you know, what happens with that. But, you know, we're going to get Star Wars until the end of time, so, you know.
Well, when you play the game of Empires, you either win or you die.
Well, I'm glad we at least have some announcements, since, you know, you're going to make us wait 14 months to finally see the end of Game of Thrones, bastards.
Right.
But, hey, we have Westworld 2, Season 2 this year, so kind of to tie us over a little bit. All right. So, yes, that's going on. This is, I thought, was really funny. I kind of laughed, and I thought for a moment it would be this week's Sign of the Apocalypse, but it isn't. there will be a Child's Play TV series, and it's not a reboot. It will be a continuation of the story. So
it's so great.
Yeah.
It's so horrible. It's so horribly great.
I know, but here's the greatness of it. We all have our trash TV, okay? We know it's not good, but we can't, you know, turn our eyes away. That's why I don't fault everybody for watching Duck Dynasty, even though I think the majority of the audience for that show are morons. But, you know, like me, I couldn't turn away from Dog the Bounty Hunter, and I can't explain it. It just cracked me up. And then it made it even better when South Park did one of my favorite episodes by making fun of Dog the Bounty Hunter. So I throw Child's Play, the TV series, right into that kind of category where it's going to be so bad that it's awesome, you know, as long as it doesn't take itself too seriously, and then it's going to be great.
But I think part of the problem is going to be that one of the things that I loved about Child's Play was how absolutely, like, I guess just weird it is to see something that, I mean, you know, the special effects weren't that great. And so the puppet really did look like a doll. And I feel like they're going to mess that part up, trying to be so technologically advanced and, you know, trying to make it look more realistic. I feel like that part's going to get lost. And that's where they're going to mess up for me. If they did it the way that it was originally made, I would love that. I would watch that all the time. And I would love to see that as a series.
So you
just like
you
a
feel
different
like
episode of somebody dying all the time.
Yeah. You feel like Chucky's going to be like bad CGI Yoda from episode one.
I feel like it's going to go Clash of the Titans, right? Like one of the things that I loved about the original Clash of the Titans was the horrible, cheesy special effects. And then they remade it into this huge CGI thing. And I was like, what are you doing? But I still love the original. And I feel like if they do that with Child's Play and keep the puppet looking really cheesy and doll-like, then it'll be good because it'll be kind of funny and still a little bit, you know, creepy. But I feel like they're going to overdo it and think it over too much.
That's why the original Logan's Run movie is still fantastic, because it's literally, you know, sci-fi props and technology for movies right before Star Wars. So, I mean, it does look bad, but yet it still tells this great story. And I love, like, the wobbling, you know, aluminum tin can of a robot in the ice cave. There's so many great things about it that you watch now, and when you go back and watch it, that, I'm kind of like, don't ever change that. And in them trying to redo Logan's Run movie, I'm just like, oh, stop.
There are some movies that are great because they're so cheesily horrible, and you should leave them that way.
Absolutely. For you fans of Daniel Tosh, Tosh.0 will get an additional 3 seasons on Comedy Central. So I'm excited about that. That's one of those that I don't watch it regularly, but like late at night when I'm winding down and everything, he always makes me laugh. So I'm glad that will still be on Comedy Central. It's kind of hard to believe, too. He's been doing that for 10 years now. Like, wow. Also, it was announced this week that Bandai Namco, Namco, is working on a Metroid Prime 4 game. So, for you fans of Metroid, there you have it. I'm actually kind of excited about that. I haven't. It kind of makes me want to go back and pull out Metroid, which I have not played in forever. So, that is coming back. And do you guys remember that movie Hannah? The one
Saoirse Ronan.
Right, where she basically just kills everyone. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, completely.
It's actually a really good one. I mean, it's the father basically trains her, but they live off the grid and everything,
being
and she decides to go off in the world and she just kills everybody. Before she was Lady Bird. And this awkward teenager, she was a little girl who just killed everybody. But anyway, Amazon announced this week that they are making a series based off that movie. So there you have it. I know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that can work, but it really it depends on who you get to who they cast as Hannah, because I think
and I guess
Dorsa,
probably who's doing it.
Yeah, she made that movie, but I mean Eric Bana too was also great as her father.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's great in anything that he does. Even when you make a really bad Incredible Hulk movie.
I was just going to say, really? Even Incredible Hulk?
He was good in the movie.
No, to be fair, that wasn't... How you take Eric Bana and Tim Roth and make a shitty movie, that's on the directors and the writers.
Well, no, that was Edward Norton, but I know what you're going with. But no.
Oh, I guess I'm getting them all confused. They've just all
There's
been so
too
bad.
Many Hulks. They all just blend together.
Right. It's like...
Oh, that was the Nick Nolte one. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Which they completely changed the origin story and all that. Nick Nolte as a crazy father who injected his kid with gamma radiation. Now, the movie was shitty. But hey, Jennifer Connelly playing Betty and Eric Bana as Bruce, I mean, they were good. And I'm sorry. How do you fuck up a movie when you literally have, you know, what's his face playing Sam? No, I just forgot his last name. The Ultimate Cowboy Mustache.
Yeah,
Sam Watson
playing the general.
No.
Do what?
Hold on.
Sam Watson.
No. You know, Beef, It's What's for Dinner, does the Chevy commercials. Okay, well, anyway, but moving on.
Sam Elliott.
That's Sam Elliott, thank you. I need more coffee. But, yeah, I thought he was really great as the general. So, anyway, that's happening with the Hannah series. And Richard Linklater fans, he has another movie, coming-of-age movie, that'll be coming out, and it will be centered around the moon landing. Basically, it's dealing with the kids whose parents work at NASA during that time. So, him within that kind of period piece, I'm already excited, because, you know, even the sappy romantic-type movies, I think he can do no wrong. so... I think that'll be kind of an interesting, I like the idea of that being a coming of age and then that time period and stuff. So, all right. And we'll have a review for you at some point, but it was announced this week that the fourth Cloverfield movie will be released theatrically. So,
wow.
Now that they're, yeah. So I guess they're, I guess it's one of those things where, it'll shortly be on streaming services, but they are trying to do a theatrical run with that movie. I don't have any details about what, you know, the movie is about and stuff, but, and we'll be talking about the Cloverfield Paradox, later anyway. Okay, so that's what's going on with that. Now, some other news items that are just kind of hilarious, and all of them could very easily fit in this week's Sign of the Apocalypse, but they really don't, and I just kind of wanted to make fun of these items. But before we get to that, I do want to emphasize that this other bit of news item is... just rumor right now. It actually has not been confirmed until a contract has been signed. It's all speculation. So despite what Variety and other news outlets are saying, we're just going to tell it to you straight. But apparently Joaquin Phoenix is in talks and being considered to play the Joker for a solo Joker movie.
I got something I want to opine on here real quick. I have no problem with that casting. In fact, I wish they had rather casted Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker to begin with. But does anybody really want a Joker origin story? I don't.
Yeah.
I do.
I don't.
Badly.
The whole I don't, because the whole mystery of the Joker is the fact that even he doesn't know his origin. You might as well just call it midichlorians.
There is some mystery to his background. There's a lot of controversy as to, like, where did he start? There's a few different stories, and there's a few different Jokers. I think that having an origin story is a good idea, but I think it also depends on who does it and how they're going to execute it. I also have feelings about Joaquin Phoenix doing it, just because I like him as an actor in certain movies. I don't know that I would like him as the Joker.
Well, here's my thought on this. First of all, origin stories never work out the way we hope they do. Never.
Sure.
And two, the only way I see this working is at the end of the story, you see him sitting in Arkham across from Dr. Harley Quinzel, who's not yet Harley Quinn, and he says,
exactly.
And that's how it really happened. And she said, you said that yesterday. And I meant it yesterday, and I mean it today. And tomorrow, when I tell you a different story, I'll mean it then, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, that would be really great.
I understand the need to do origin stories. I do. And I understand of trying to do an origin story of the Joker when we really don't know anything, and we can finally get a way of redoing the origin story of Batman, which everybody already knows. But I agree that there is a certain there's greatness in the fact that the mystery behind his origins, okay, and you know, I think that's kind of the interesting thing about the Gotham series is they keep teasing that you don't really know for sure,
mm-hmm.
okay, and they keep playing it out over and over and all that, but. I felt like the animated film, The Killing Joke, that we all saw a couple of years ago was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it isn't the true origin story, but it's a origin story, and it was interesting, and it made for a great, you know, animated movie, especially, you know, that Mark Hamill came back and did the voice, which was the right
yes.
thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you just want to have Joaquin Phoenix play the Joker, fine. But, you know, I would still say add that air of mystery to everything with him. We don't need a full origin story. You know, part of what made Heath Ledger such a great Joker in The Dark Knight was he kept changing his own little origin story and things that happened that didn't make
mm-hmm.
really any sense when he was messing around with people. And that's what made him truly sadistic. So,
but I think that DC kind of threw out that ability when they when they came out. I think it was like a month ago or 2 months ago, and said, "This is the Joker's origin story." And they said he is Jack Napier. They adopted the origin
right.
story from the first Batman movie, and they said this is what it's going to be. And to me, as a fan, anybody who knows me knows that I absolutely love the Joker. My room is just decorated in green and purple memorabilia and toys and comics. It's just horrible. So for me, that mystery, which I did love, actually, was kind of gone when they put out like an official statement of like, okay, this is the story that we're going with, because I did
sure.
like the Red Hood story better. And
right.
So all of that to me was just kind of like, what? And I feel like even if they do the Joker origin movie, there's still room to play around with different stories, because they have so many Earths and they have so many different abilities, especially, I mean, if you've seen Flashpoint Paradox, the way that
sure.
they went about the Joker and Batman in that, to me, was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and I loved it. And if you haven't seen that and you're a Joker or a Batman fan, just Google the clip. Just the clip alone is just mind-blowing. And I feel like there's still some room to play around if they want to do that. So I do kind of want an origin story. I just don't know if I want Joaquin Phoenix in it.
Here's the good thing about DC, though. It also could be considered the bad thing. If you don't like a decision they've made, it's okay. Wait a year or two, they'll completely reset the canon.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the problem, too, is we've kind of hit that plateau with superhero movies and and reboots and you know, trying to pump out as much as they possibly can. So it's, you know, eventually you're going to start getting to like the B squad of superheroes, or we're just going to keep doing things over and over because of superheroes. I mean, aren't we starting to get a little tired of all the superhero shows? I mean, are they really all that interesting compared to, you know, 4 or 5 years ago? You know, I'm like, I'm at the point now with Arrow where I'm like, compared when it first came on, I was like, this is awesome. Or The Flash. And Supergirl is just like, I'm more interested in seeing...
Yeah, I can't really get into those.
Yeah, I'm more interested in seeing, you know, Melissa LeBose or whatever her last name is playing one of David Koresh's wives in the Waco series. It's just, you get to a point where I think it is kind of too much. It's not as special. Mm-hmm. And then you start getting ridiculous storylines, and that's kind of what I worry about with this. I mean, we're all going to see
it. Happen.
Yeah, but this will add more to our debate of, you know, who is your Joker? And I think for, like, our, you know, for our generation, you know, we're at that threshold that, we know Cesar Romero because obviously we started with the original Batman series when it was campy and all that, but we were kids when we had the first, you know, with Tim Burton's Batman movie, and it was dark, and it was finally getting back that, and Jack Nicholson was just brilliant as the Joker.
He was amazing, yeah.
Yeah. So,
if anybody else
calls
you Beast, I'll rip their lungs out.
Yeah. He is my
little
Joker.
Song,
I don't
dance.
Right. anyway, we'll see what happens with it and how it all plays into what's, you know, going on. But I also think this is just a thing with Warner Brothers to try to salvage what they consider, you know, failures with, you know, their cinematic universe, which I don't think Justice League was a failure. I think it's headed in the right direction. It was one of the best things they've done, even if they didn't make, you know, the Avenger money that they were expecting. I don't know. All right. Some other interesting things. Yes. You know, we made comments that there was going to be a Charmed reboot because, you know, it's time for that. Yeah,
sure, why not? We're rebooting everything else.
Right. This was the funny thing that I just, you know, being too PC because we can't do it like the original. But, you know, there will be a new sister trio, all ethnicities, and an LGBT character. Because why not?
Wait. How are they sisters if they're all ethnic? Like, unless they're just, like, all mixed races, which... That'd be cool because, you know, like,
sure.
Okay, so, you know, the mother is, you know, white and black, and the father is, I don't know, Hispanic and Native American, and then all of them are mixed races. But otherwise, if you're just going to have, like, one black person, one Asian person, and like, one Hispanic or one black person just because we're saying, hey, mixed races, dude, that's not the way genetic works.
Yeah,
I wonder if they're going to do, like, the whole sisters, like, the I guess the Wiccan term of sisterhood instead of the actual biological basis of sisterhood.
And then they're going to piss off every Charmed fan ever because the Charmed fans, they were actual sisters.
Exactly.
And their mother was
they're
a witch.
They're going to piss them all off anyway. Yeah, they're going to piss them all off anyway.
I like Haley Marie's, you know, Combs' comments about reboots and the LGBT character, and she took some flack on Twitter this past week in regards and basically called it out for just being ridiculous. You know, we don't need to do that, but whatever.
Like,
but then again,
that's like in Denton, they're coming out with a new in Denton, Texas, which is, by the way, one of the, like, the most progressive places in Texas. It's very chill, very relaxed. They're coming out with an LGBTQ. I don't even know how many letters are supposed to go on that anymore, but friendly diner. I've been just about everywhere in Denton. There isn't a place that isn't LGBTQ friendly. That's Denton, folks. You don't need to advertise. Like, everywhere there is friendly to that community. It's just
right.
Who they are.
I think in some ways they're using it as a marketing ploy, and that's sad to me.
Yeah, because then you completely missed the point.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I actually had a solution for the Charmed reboot series. Why don't, to really just make it true PC and everything, why don't you just make them all three drag queens? They can be sisters. And then you have RuPaul run the house. Just be done with it.
Like her ghost as the mother.
Oh, right. Now, I mean, I
actually like this idea more. I've watched
it.
I would like that idea.
First of all, I love RuPaul to begin with. Because, I mean, if you really look at complete transformations, like you would, when you see him outside, it's like there's no way. But he's just brilliant to begin with. And if you don't think he is, there's a great movie that came out about 20 years ago, which really just was an insult to the ultra right-wing conservative that hates everything about homosexuals. But I'm a Cheerleader. Yeah, where he plays one of the counselors. But anyway, I think that you hit all the PC notes that you need to do. And you can, you know, it's a cross between the Birdcage with Tu Wong Fu, just really with fantastic makeup and clothes.
And you can hit so many different markets with that. Yeah.
Exactly.
My best friend loves RuPaul's Drag Race, and I got to tell you, I had never seen the show before. And she was like, "No, you have to watch this." And I watched an episode. I was enthralled. I was fascinated by these older men who can do makeup so much better than I can, and the drama that ensues in one episode. I was just like, wow, I feel like that would be an amazing show.
Way better than Real Housewives.
Oh, so much better.
Yeah. All right, so your last two little bit of items here that we wanted to talk about real quick. I mean, we really should just have an entire show of making fun of the stupidity of Hollywood. But anyway, Justin Lin will direct the reboot pilot for Magnum P.I. So lots of explosions and fast car chases.
Lots of drifting.
Big porn stash.
And lots.
There's
got to
be
exactly.
a big porn stash on somebody.
Oh, my God. If you know they're not going to have a mustache. It's... You know, he'll be some kind of hipster dude.
Even if they can't grow a mustache, even if the actor is just physically incapable of growing a mustache, we know that they can digitally remove a mustache from an actor.
That digitally removed mustache is sitting on a shelf somewhere. Take it off. Dust it off.
Put it on the other guy.
Put it in somebody else's face. It'll be fine.
By the way,
I saw a production still of him with the mustache in the Superman outfit. It was amazing. They should have just left it.
Exactly. And also, the greatness of Deadpool marketing, the latest little trailer where he's playing.
Make fun of it, yeah.
Right, where they're making fun of it, yes. Cannot wait for Deadpool 2. And speaking of Deadpool, the director, David Leitch, is in talks to... I guess direct the Fast and Furious spinoff. So yes, there's a spinoff of Fast and Furious.
It's the Circle of Life, Simba.
I guess because you know, if you need another, the world's not complete unless you have you know fast car chases, hot women, you know, and drifting and whatnot. In fact, if we're just going to keep doing that, I'd rather just Hollywood get right on it and do a Days of Thunder 2. So, anyway.
You know, I can't deny the fact that the last one I actually watched because I have a very inappropriate relationship with Charlize Theron, and I saw that she was in it, and Jason Statham was in it, and I was like, okay, I should watch this. I didn't actually enjoy it so much as I just liked looking at her, and that's okay with me.
Honey, we all have an inappropriate relationship with Charlize Theron. There is nothing to be ashamed about.
No,
and you know what
I have to
me.
Say is go
okay,
back and watch 2 Days
me.
In the Valley.
Exactly.
Oh,
watch 2 Days in the Valley.
I've seen it. I had to buy another copy because there's like a certain few minutes that I kept rewinding over and over again.
Yeah.
So your laser actually wore out the CD, the DVD, rather?
Yeah.
No comment.
Hey, Atomic Blonde kind of reinforced all that about that she is most gorgeous woman on the face of the planet. So
she could beat me up twice on Sunday.
Anyway, now while we've made fun of a few things in the news, we do have this week's Sign of the Apocalypse, and it was actually meant for last week, but we're going to carry it over because I absolutely thought this was funny. There is an animated movie called Bilal, The Birth of a New Hero, and it's basically about a young Arab, Muslim peasant who rises up against, the imperial forces that are keeping him down because he's a slave and, winning his freedom for him and his sister and blah, 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 blah. I am not making fun of the movie per se. I am, however, making fun of the marketing campaign, because you really can't call him the birth of a new hero when Bilal was in the 6th century AD, and you've had stories of, Moses leading his people away from a tyrant, William Wallace, that happened afterwards, but Spartacus being a really great prime example of leaving a slave revolt, Jesus. So you've basically taken the story of every other hero that have risen up against tyrants and you're trying to package it into this story and act like it's the birth of a new hero. No, I'm afraid not. Not so much. Just say it's a new hero with the same story, but you'll watch it anyway. So, by the way, for everybody that complains that The Force Awakens was basically just a remake of A New Hope, then I have to watch Bilal and basically say this is the same story that they've seen over and over and over throughout time. I don't know. I just, like I said, I thought the marketing campaign was just absolutely hilarious behind this movie. But anyway, and I'm going to, before we get to what you should be streaming, I do want to leave everybody with a little funny thought. This is actually a real thing. You can look it up. Yes, there are people that still believe the Earth is flat. There is an actual organization called the Flat Earth Society.
And it has members all around the globe.
Exactly. Hey, you stole my punchline. That is their marketing slogan. Marketing slogan. Like, really?
Well, that's because my belief of this is that the Flat Earth Society started as a troll account, and then people started joining, and they were like, oh, wait, we can make money off of this. And it's basically become the 2000s version of Scientology.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, so the leader is L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Or someone who studied him closely, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was just like, while you're right, there's fake members that are just being funny, there's the few members that actually truly believe this and are not convinced by science whatsoever or any pictures from space. But, they're like, oh, that's a great marketing slogan. Think about it for a moment. But I love marketing slogans that completely negate your entire belief system. So, yeah. And that reminded me of like, what if the tagline for the Bible was the best fantasy book of 2000, of the millennia? Like, there you go. Anyway, that was my, I didn't know what was more insulting, that there was a Flat Earth Society or that was their marketing campaign or slogan. Like, good job. Anyway, it's just as bad as a headline in a newspaper a couple of years ago talking about new evidence in Princess Diana's death. And literally the headline said, Diana was alive hours before she was dead. Really? Because that's generally how it works.
Are you kidding me? Like, that actually made it to print?
Yeah, that was the headline.
Good God, and newspapers wonder why they're losing money.
Right. Well, remember, I showed you the other one, too, where they literally said, homicide victims rarely talk to the police. Really?
You don't say.
I would hope not.
Not without a seance, anyway.
I know. Let's get those charmed girls.
Or boys.
Those
as
beautiful
they may
drag
be.
Queens.
Right. You know what? I think we should petition. Getting back to charmed, I think we should actually petition to have a drag queen charm show. Yes.
I would love that.
I know.
It'd be fabulous.
Totally anyway. All right. So there's quite a few new shows out on streaming services and stuff that we're going to recommend that you should definitely check out. But the first one that we're going to talk about, we were talking about it before the show started. It just came on Netflix, Altered Carbon. And Brendan, you said you got through it. I haven't watched one episode yet. What made this show?
Okay. So, it's like one part Blade Runner, one part Star Wars. The show is just really cool. First of all, so what you have to understand about the show is basically in this show's universe, they have discovered a way to transfer human consciousness basically onto a hard drive that fits in your neck. So nobody ever really dies. The only problem is the disc can be transferred from body to body, sure, which they call sleeves, but poor people just get whatever sleeve happens to be around. So in the very first episode, you see this poor little girl gets like put into this like 60-year-old woman's sleeve. And then of course it's haves and have nots because rich people can have nice sleeves and super rich people can have like a sleeve tailor designed to them. Like one of the really rich women in the show, like when she gets aroused, basically her body secretes pheromones that guarantees she'll get laid. Really?
And then her daughter steals her sleeve later. Later on, you see her daughter steal her sleeve.
Yeah, okay. And her daughter. So yeah, it gets because these people live for hundreds of years. Who, by the way, the one of the two most important characters at the beginning of the season, his importance wanes, is one of these really rich people, what they call a meth, which I just think is hilarious. But the meth addict, shall we call him? he's been alive for 350 years. So they've lost all empathy. Like they just, like even he, at the end of the season, when he realizes everything that he and his family's done, he's like, he just turns himself in because he's like, holy crap, we're barely even human anymore. So it's a really interesting take on humanity and what would happen if we could live forever. And the main character played by Joel Kinnaman, and this is how it gets really interesting with the consciousness and these sleeves, is you have a guy who's half Japanese, half, I think, Czech. His name is Takeshi Kovach. And you have a half Japanese, half Czech guy being played by, like, a really white dude. Like, really white. Like, he's like, more Casper than I am. But because his consciousness has been downloaded into his sleeve. Now, they also have a couple of different different actors playing the same character in flashbacks showing you, you know, how he got to where he was. So it's just really, really interesting. Next season, because I'm almost positive this is going to get picked up because it was so good and so interesting. Next season, it's going to be a completely new cast because your consciousness can be beamed off world. So you don't even, it's kind of like a transfer transit. And did you guys watch Dark Matter?
Yeah.
Okay, so transfer transit and dark matter, you can be, you can be broadcast, your consciousness can be broadcast into a clone. Well, in this, you're not broadcast into a clone. You're just broadcast into another body that just happens to be lying around on a different planet. So even when you die, you, as long as your consciousness has been backed up, you still retain the memories. So it's a little bit different than transfer transit, but it's kind of similar. So anyway, it's just got there's so much going on in this show. It's actually hard to convey in a like little 5-minute review that we're doing. All I have to say is go watch it, because the more people that watch it, the more likelihood we're going to get a season two. And I mean, season two is almost guaranteed at this point anyway, but it's just watch it, cause it's good. You're going to enjoy it. There's some great action scenes. Yeah, there is a lot of fun. There's some sweet sword fighting. There's gunplay. There's people getting their ass kicked in hand-to-hand combat. And by the way, because it's on Netflix and not on the network, they don't have to worry about things like can't cuss, can't show nudity, can't show broken bones.
Yeah,
they show all of it.
It's true. So, they show everything.
It's like, honestly, it's like, what if Quentin Tarantino directed Blade Runner?
I'm like, I got to ponder one for a moment.
I mean, the only thing missing is Samuel L. Jackson with copious amounts of the words motherfucker, but, you know.
Right. Wait for it. Just wait for it.
Season two. And that's the beauty of this series, is next season we could actually have Samuel L. Jackson playing Takeshi Kovacs.
That would be so great. Oh, my goodness.
That would be amazing.
I would
love
that.
Well, it is actually getting
me. I'm just saying it.
It is getting good reviews. So I know that Nerd Show will have a full written review on it here shortly. So my only problem is I am just not a fan of Joel Kinnaman. He just annoys me in everything he does. So it just
I can understand that, because he's got that mousy little nose. He kind of looks, and if he tries to grow facial hair, he kind of reminds me of a rat. So I get that. he's actually pretty good in this.
Well, I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it, I finally got around and finished up Fortitude on Amazon, which, a friend of mine was telling me about. I will say that this is the thing that annoys me about Amazon. They, unlike other streaming, sites, for whatever reason, when you click on to start, whatever you're going to start, it doesn't take you immediately to the very first episode on their little drop-down menu. Like, I literally started season two not knowing what the hell was really going on.
Yeah, you got to be careful
about that.
And then
I realized... Oh, there's a whole nother season before.
Like, it seems
so
like
I got
I'm missing some story here.
Right.
That's really weird. I've never had that problem.
When I do it on the website, that's the way it works. I did that the other day when I went back to watch
on the website, it'll take you to the first episode of the most recent season, because that's what they're advertising. So you have to go back.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I watch on the Fire TV.
Most of what I have to do is when I'm working, trying to get through all the shows that we're covering to at least get an idea of what it's about. But anyway, it was really good. I mean, I went back and I did finish like the first season to understand the backstory, but got to the end of season two is like, okay, this really is good. Because, I mean, it's basically about these townspeople in like the Yukon dealing with an outside force, alien thing that basically kind of takes over your body, and you're dealing with an oil company and the Norwegian government. Dennis Quaid is in it. And you get a lot of Game of Thrones alum in there as well. So yeah, that was an interesting show off Amazon, but be very careful about where you start, or you'll just be entirely confused. But anyway, also, I wanted to, it's not an original, but I wanted to throw out a really funny kind of movie that I discovered on Amazon with Arnold Schwarzenegger basically making fun of himself as an action star, called Killing Gunther. And it's basically a mockumentary about, yeah, excuse me, he is the world's best assassin. And the other assassins kind of team up together, and they're going to take him down so they can be number one. They'll never be number one as long as he's alive. But they get a documentary film crew to film, you know, proof that it's going to happen. So, yeah, it's very, very enjoyable.
So it's a Simpsons spinoff.
So it's essentially Assassins, but like a mockumentary of Assassins.
A Simpsons
spinoff?
Spinoff.
Yeah, because isn't there like that, I forgot what his name is, the action character that's based off, kind of loosely based off of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Isn't his name Gunther also, or something like that?
I am here to lead, not to read.
Yeah, that guy.
Right.
So it's kind of that guy gets a movie.
I was thinking pretty the Antonio Banderas, Sylvester Stallone movie, Assassins, but like filmed as a mockumentary.
Right. No, it was really funny. Taryn Killen from SNL wrote and directed it. I caught it on Amazon Prime this week and was like, I don't remember seeing anything or hearing anything about this movie. So I watched it, and you know, you don't even really get Arnold until about halfway into the movie, and he's just hilarious. I have a lot more respect for him, you know, kind of making fun of himself and having some comedy chops. It's almost like, what if Richard Kimball from Kindergarten Cop quit being a kindergarten teacher and decided to go back and, you know, be an assassin? You know, it's kind of...
Actually, he's got another series that's in development at Amazon. He's going to be in a Western where he's playing a U.S. Marshal trying to track down some fugitive.
Yeah. And that, I read about that, and I was excited. I'm like, that I could see. Because, I mean, since he has come back to acting, I'm not saying that all of the stuff that he has done has been great. I mean, we can all admit that the Terminator movie was not that good. Even though he was good in it. He was funny. But it was just a terrible Terminator movie. But the movie that we saw years ago, we actually did the red carpet event here in Dallas, The Last Stand, where he's like the sheriff of a small town that has to stop a guy trying to cross the border through the town. I mean, it was a fun movie, and he was great in it. So,
yeah. How you feeling, Sheriff? Old.
Yeah.
Like, even making fun of himself for being there.
Yeah, exactly. So, Peaky Blinder fans, in case you did not know or realize, because I talked to a couple people this week, season 4 of Peaky Blinders is out. So if you have not seen that yet, shame on you. That's one of those shows, I think that's one of the hidden gems of Netflix. And it took me a little while to kind of get into it. I mean, I didn't jump on the bandwagon like everybody else. When I finally got into it and binged watched everything, I was like, okay, this is awesome. And Cillian Murphy, how he has not won awards or praised more for being a great actor, I don't know.
Yeah, he's good.
Well, Helen McCroy, too, another example. I mean, that entire show. And everything just went batshit crazy in season 4. But, wow. That's another show that I hope, you know, keeps going and stuff. Now, Brendan, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago at your wife's birthday party. You were talking about the Jean-Claude Van Johnson series on Amazon.
It's hilarious. To me, that show's hilarious because it does not take itself seriously. And basically the whole premise of the show is that Jean-Claude Van Damme's entire acting career was a cover for him being a secret agent. And and the whole thing is literally the whole show is tongue-in-cheek. And he's coming back into being a secret agent after being retired, and that's why he's doing his movie comeback. And like the first mission he goes on, he goes to do his famous split punch. but he can't. Like, he gets halfway down and his muscles just stop. And so the guy's just sitting there laughing at him and just brains him upside the head with a billy club. It's just like, it's just basically it's Jean-Claude Van Damme making son of one of himself for 9 episodes. Felicia Rashad plays his agent / handler. I mean, there are some really funny moments in it, and I'm actually sad that it got canceled. So just watch it because it's worth it, and you'll probably never see an action star or a former action star making fun of themselves this much.
Well, so, I think that's also kind of what made the Expendable movies, funny, was they made jokes about themselves, about being former action stars, and everything was kind of over the top. You know, it was basically like a, you know, retirement community for former 80s action stars.
Yeah, but this is even more tongue-in-cheek. It's,
yeah.
Yes, they did make jokes about themselves, but the whole movie still had somewhat of like a normal action star tone. This
right.
is completely tongue-in-cheek. This is looking at you like, yeah, we know it's ridiculous, but it's funny, so go with it.
Speaking of Amazon, a new show, it got picked up. It's actually a Canadian show. But Amazon bought it not too long ago and dropped it, Abstentia. And it's the first series that Stanya Kotick has done post-Castle since that show ended. And it's basically about an FBI agent who was kidnapped by a serial killer and was thought to be dead until she mysteriously shows up after, 6 years. With her husband remarried, her son who barely remembers her, and she barely has a memory of what happened and how she was tortured and, how she is linked to everything. As she is trying to figure all this out, all the evidence is pointing that she was really the serial killer that she was formerly after before she went missing. So there's a whole little interesting conspiracy wrapped up within this. But it was very much for people that watched Alias when it was on TV. It was the whole to-do when, Sydney, I guess after season three, where she disappears and where then she wakes up and it's like 3 years later, and she's trying to regain her memory and what happened and leads into, a bigger storyline. Well, that's kind of what this is. So I watched like the first 5 episodes when it was a Canadian show, and then I finally went back and finished it on Amazon this week, and it definitely leaves you with an interesting cliffhanger, of everything is not what it seems to be, and you're still not quite sure about her, about what really happened, with her being tortured and stuff like that. And at the same time, her, going back to being an FBI agent. So for as thrillers go, that is something that I definitely recommend that people, should check out. You won't be disappointed with it. And it's nice to see her actually do get back into a project after Castle, because she hasn't really done anything. And that's a shame, because I love Stanya Kotick. Castle, at least the first 5 seasons of Castle were fantastic before it started to jump the shark, like most TV shows.
Yeah.
So.
Also on Netflix that dropped this week, have you watched Britannia at all?
Oh, no, that's Amazon, but yeah, that did
or
drop
Amazon,
this week.
Or Amazon, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, but yeah, it was, so I got to get through it. So here's the thing. It's a really good show. It's about this, basically the second incursion of Rome into the British Isles, about 90 years after Julius Caesar went in 54 and 55 BC. But, did they get, Lorena McKennitt for the theme song? No. Did they get one of the women from Celtic Women? No. Did they get Enya? No. They had this weird, trippy 60s, free love kind of, it just, doesn't fit with the show. And I have to like skip the entry every time because I'm sitting there going, like, I'm waiting for somebody to start singing, you know, "You're Gonna Meet Nice People in San Francisco." I mean, it's just like, what? Like, how has this got anything to do with the British Isles in, you know, frickin' 40 AD? It makes no sense. So it's jarring, it's annoying, and it takes you out of the element. And I'm so pissed off about this. I've never been more pissed off about a theme song.
Yeah, I don't understand where they did it. You know, here, even if you're not a fan of Outlander, you know, the Star series, at least they got the theme song correct. It is a Celtic song sung by a Celtic singer. You know, it's beautiful. It fits exactly what it is, even though it is kind of sappy and romantic, which, you know, that show, that's what half that show is anyway. I don't really even know what was going on. Every other show, anything that they have done about the Roman Empire, they've always found something with, you know, the right beat that kind of defined what that is. Even Spartacus had that, right, that just really fit with that particular theme. And it didn't take away from watching the series. So, I like the series. I've seen, you know, the first few episodes that I've watched. I mean, I think it's great, and David Morrissey is fantastic. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's I skipped that theme song the same way that I skipped the James Bond theme song when I rewatched Spectre.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Worst James Bond theme song ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
I think David Morrissey is ruined for me after Walking Dead. Now I just see him as a really bad governor. And I tried.
Really?
I watched a couple of episodes of Britannia, and I actually liked it. But every time I saw him, I don't know, as a Walking Dead fan, I just got so angry with his story arc and how they portrayed him compared to the comic books. And so now when I see him, I get a little angry inside.
You get a little angry.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, why'd you do it? Why?
I know.
But it was I still thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something for people to check out. And again, we will have a full review of that here shortly in the next week or so.
And I do want to say I did enjoy the show. It's actually quite good. But damn it, freaking song. Anyway.
I actually think it's also good for people that are fans of Vikings that, you know, need a fix in between seasons. You can go and watch Britannia, and it'll help you out a little bit.
That is
actually they should take the theme song from Outlander and just put it in Britannia and be done with it.
Hell, I'd be okay with the theme song from Vikings.
There you go.
Oh, I love
there
that theme song. I really do.
You know what? Why don't you just play part of the Braveheart soundtrack. Just throw that in there. So I actually talked to a person that still has not seen Stranger Things yet on Netflix. And I'm like, I feel like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, you shouldn't even be allowed to have a Netflix account if you have it. That's, if you get Netflix, you have to watch that series. So,
what I want to know is why. Whenever I talk to people like this, I look at them like they're a Betamax, and I'm like, why? Even if you can't binge watch all of it, if you can't watch all of it, I get it, right? But then do an episode a day, or, you know, find maybe like a weekend and do it while you're cleaning, but get some of it in there somehow. I don't understand how it's been this long, and there are people that still haven't seen it that have
Netflix.
There's
people in prison that have seen Stranger Things. So, no excuses. I'm sorry.
Did not know.
Especially
that.
If you were a child in the 80s. There's no redeeming value.
In New York, they're giving prisoners, iPads and tablets and shit while teachers have to freaking buy their own, you know, crayons and shit for class. But, yeah, so, yeah, prisoners definitely have seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
But
sorry.
Even
all
for
right,
those
we're gonna...
people that tell me, like, they... Oh, I was just going to say, even for those people that tell me they didn't like the first season, I always tell them the second season makes up for it. Binge watch it all.
Yeah, because season 3 is going to be one of the most anticipated things on Netflix. Quick thing, season 2 of Jessica Jones drops in March, so we're going to be very excited about that. We're going to wrap this show up, and we'll be back next week talking about classic movies that every millennial should see. So everybody, stay nerdy. Find something you want to binge watch on Amazon or Netflix. And if you discover a new show, let us know about it if we haven't heard about it yet. All right, everybody, we're out of here.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.